And my guest today is Sherman Alexie, and he's thought about that question a lot. He's a funny, smart, thoughtful writer, as well as a poet and film director and occasional stand-up comic. Alexie grew up in the Spokane Reservation in eastern Washington. He gave up an early dream to become a doctor and, luckily for us, instead became one of the most interesting younger fiction writers in America today. Sherman Alexie, welcome to Studio 360.
Thank you. And I want you to know that my door is facing east at this moment as well. So
I'm very pleased about that. Now, you don't take all of that solemn facing east tribal tradition stuff entirely seriously, do you?
Well, I don't take anybody's traditions entirely seriously. As I was listening to that report, I thought, well, that's great. That's, you know, respecting religion, respecting culture, and establishing a sense of sovereignty in a good sense of the word. But it's also establishing separation in the bad sense of the word.
But isn't that a kind of tension that any group in the melting pot of America faces, of how separate to be, how integrated to be?
Well, I think it's different for us because, you know, politically speaking, we are separate. The fight is for sovereignty. We are, by treaty rights, supposed to be treated as separate nations within a nation. So I think on a political level, we are fighting for our economic and political independence. At the same time, we are seeking cultural assimilation and respect. So I'm not sure if the museum is viewing it that way. I hear about the dead tree in the front to symbolize all parts of life. But as I was hearing that, I thought, yeah, what about the car wreck? Is there going to be a crashed car into the wall, with like beer bottles scattered around, which is a huge part of Indian life? It's a museum and it's a government museum. It's going to focus on, for lack of a better word at the moment, a positive view of the struggle rather than a more holistic, well-rounded view of our struggles.
Well, your work of stories, much of it about Indian people living now, certainly takes that kind of whole view, warts and all. Do you feel as though you single-handedly are providing the counterpoint to that kind of nice facing east dead tree neutrality of the museum?
Single-handedly, I don't think so. I'm not sure I can do anything single-handedly. I tried to put up curtains this weekend and couldn't do it. So I doubt I can change the world's perception of my race.
But you do think about that.
I think I have a sort of pop culture power that very few, if any, Native Americans have had before, and a literary image and power that very few natives have had before. So I think part of that is my age, my young age. But I think part of it also is that I'm assimilated in a good way. I've always retained my Indian identity, my Indian politics. Nobody has ever identified me as anything else. But at the same time, I'm fully involved in all aspects of the culture.
Sherman, have you heard of Robbie Romero?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So I know Robbie Romero on Red Thunder and Exit, the band he was talking about. When I was in fourth grade on the res school, For the Christmas pageant, we did a version of Oh Great Eagle and Exit songs. That's how big Exit were. But most of the music I listen to, my native artists, is powwow music. Black Lodge singers, Yellow Thunder, drum powwow music, drums and traditional singing.
So it's a real thriving world of art and entertainment.
The subculture art does very well in the Indian world. Bead makers, dressmakers, dancers, powwow singers. It's when you're talking about those Indian artists among us who are working in, for lack of a better term, what I would call mainstream genre work, are having a harder time. The thing to remember is that Native people are poor and very rural and poor inner city. So you've got res Indians who, you know, like TV and rap music, and inner city Indians who like TV and rap music. So in a way, we Indian artists, especially us writers or painters or, you know, actors, are the elite who are working in a world, in an air that is above our Indian audience's expectations and needs and wants. To get to an Indian audience, you're going to have to work in the mainstream because they live in the mainstream.
Is that one reason you make films and do stand-up comedy?
Well, you know, listen, I'm a literary writer. I write short stories. I sell 50,000 copies of a book. But in terms of Indians, how many Indians read those books? I don't know. But I would venture that 95% of Indians have seen smoke signals. You know, I run into, you know, Navajo grandmothers who've seen it. And we screened the movie in Minneapolis a couple of years after it was in theaters, and the sound kept going out on the projector. But enough Indians in the crowd had seen smoke signals enough times that they started doing the dialogue. You know, it was the Rocky Horror Indian Picture Show.
That must give you tremendous pleasure.
It's one of the highlights of my life. You know, I was crying in the back. It just has huge cultural power because it's mainstream. It's a road movie. It's Bing Crosby and Bob Hope with braids.